Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, sponsored by Night Guard Solar, your guaranteed solar power protection against nighttime predators. Visit them online at nightguard.com. That's NITEGUARD.com. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author Pat Foreman. Today is Monday, May 24th, and I'd like to call all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear like hats, t-shirts, coffee mugs, and mouse pads. And of course, you only have 1 week today to sign up and enter the MyPetChicken.com Chicken Coop Contest, along with Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. All the information you need there is at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join the live chicken chat that's going on right now. It's becoming more and more popular today. You can talk with other Backyard with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guests when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button that comes on our homepage there at Blog Talk Radio. Sometimes the chat automatically opens up. Just scroll down. You might see it already opened up, but do take a moment to register with Blog Talk Radio because that will give you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name like the rest of us have. You can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about backyard poultry and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. While you're there at Blog Talk Radio, I want to also mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list. Hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, sponsored by Night Guard Solar.
Night Guard Solar would like to extend a special introductory offer to all the Chicken Whisperer listeners. Get 4 Night Guard Solar lights for just $100 plus shipping. That's a savings of $20. All you have to do is mention the coupon code WHISPER when you call an order. Take advantage of this great special right now by calling 1-800-328-6647. That's 1-800-328-6647. Or visit them online at nightguard.com. That's NITEGUARD.com. McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at McMurrayHatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery.
Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallburkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallburkey.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Mention the coupon code WHISPER and get 10% off your entire order. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty, welcome back to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Got a little instant message here that we were coming through a little bit choppy. I apologize about that. Maybe as we kind of get everything will be a little bit better. And, of course, when we get Pat on here, maybe I'll try to reboot our broadcast system here and see if we can't get a better sound going on here since we have a great guest today. Pat, welcome to the show.
Hey, Whisper, it's good to be on the show. Yeah, it is just a touch choppy, but I can understand you perfectly well. So how are you doing today?
Well, I was doing pretty good until I went out to feed the goats about 15 minutes before the show started, and they had pulled down some netting. We had netting across all of our pens chickens we keep in different pens, and so they're growing. They're, I guess, about 2.5 weeks old. So they're growing. They're just now to where they could reach up and pull some string that we had supporting it when we had snow, and, of course, there they are just kind of they had gotten out from under it, but they had pulled all this netting down on top of them. So here I am going inside to get the pocket knife and head back outside along with fixing two bottles for them and all this other kind of stuff. So anything and everything will happen to make me late for the radio show, regardless if it's a conference call or the goats pulling down something or the doorbell ringing or a delivery app to sign for or something that's off about 15 minutes before the show. Something will happen that will make me late or running around like a chicken with my head cut off, if you will.
And
getting on the show on time. So just, you know, hey, 15 minutes before the show, probably not a great time to call me because I might bite your head off. So, and it won't be my fault. It'll be because something else is going on. In fact, any time after 11:30, it's best not to call the Chicken Whisperer because you might not know what come across the other end of the phone. As everything seems to happen that last 30 minutes, of course, with these law. But I'm doing pretty good. I had a good weekend. Tonight is another backyard poultry meetup group meeting with over 1,000 members. We meet at least 3 times a month. Tonight we'll be meeting downtown, I mean in the big metropolis of Atlanta, down at the Piccadilly Restaurant just off of North Druid Hills. And again, our special guest tonight via Skype webinar is Dr. Bridget McCray. And so she'll be joining us tonight. It'll be open forum. Everybody's requested to bring 2 questions you've always wanted to know about your chickens, and we'll have her on after we break bread together and eat some good Piccadilly food. And so we've got that going on tonight. Let me think what else is going on this week. Nothing probably too significant. I can't even think right now. My calendar's not a date, but I do want to share this with everybody because last week I was a little bit late getting a special out, so I want to share this with everybody right now across the airwaves. I did post it on our Facebook page, but right now you may have got emailed this as well. Ideal Poultry is having a really big sale today. They had a really good hatch rate, and they hatched out an extra 10,000 chicks.
Oh,
and so they've got 10,000 chicks that they are having a really good sale on right now. So it's a super sale. You can get assorted pullets. Now, these have been sexed as pullets, so don't want you to think that this is kind of, hey, we have some extra cockerels around if you want an extra rooster. These have been sexed as pullets. For assorted pullets, hatchery choice, meaning assorted pullets, good heavy layers, $1.20 each. You can specify Rhode Island Reds and Black Sex Links. They're only $1.45 each. And again, yes, these are pullet prices. And I just got off the phone with them. They have plenty. And just if you call, mention the Chicken Whisperer, let them know you heard about the sale through us. If you would, we would appreciate that. And there were some questions, are there any minimums and whatnot on our base page? So I gave Marie a call over there at Ideal before the show. And basically, if you order with shipping and whatnot, let me see where I've got it down here. Yeah, if you order the 25 assorted pullets shipped directly to your post office, shipping and everything, it looks like it's a total of $40.75. That's for 25 hatchery choice sexed pullets. These are good, big, the heavy layer breeds. And so that's because I wanted a total just to share with folks because they were like, well, how many? What's the minimum? What would shipping be? And so that's air shipping. If you live closer or differently, you may not have to pay that quite much. I think ground shipping, if you're within a day or so, is about $37. But I just put a little bit the higher amount because most folks get the air shipping in there. So $40.75 for 25 assorted pullets, hatchery choices, shipped right to your local post office, and you can go and pick those up. And I think they're ready to ship out today. So call them today. You may have them tomorrow or the next day. So what a great deal from, our very first sponsor ever. Back when we started this radio show, Ideal was our very first sponsor. So show them the love, and they've been a continual sponsor ever since. But, $1.20 pullets, hatchery choice assorted at idealpoultry.com, and you can give them a call at 254-697-6677. That's 254-697-6677. And a good, if you would tell them you heard about it on the Chicken Whisperer, we would appreciate that. So let's see what else we got here. Chickens in the news here that's going on that I've posted. This is really interesting. PETA buys stock to gain influence in boardrooms. So apparently they have so much money. They're buying stock to, with these companies so they can gain some votes and gain some leeway, if you will, a little push and shove in some of these companies to try to get them to influence them about buying stock and treatment of animals and different products. That's a unique and different approach to it. Just, you know, heck, I'll just buy the company, then I can do what I want to with it. So, hey, you know, that's I guess PETA for you. We've got another great article about chickens in Salem. They've been working on trying to get chickens for a long, long time. That's at our Facebook page. We had the super sale we talked about, and of course, our special guest is going to be Sam Brush, the newly elected president of the American Poultry Association. Also, a big announcement, which from yesterday, the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show is now a proud sponsor of the 2010 Ohio National Poultry Show, the largest poultry show, at my understanding, in the country. And so we are planning to be broadcasting live there in November.
All
right. And you can go to www.ohionational.org and get all the information about that. A huge show up in Ohio. You broadcast live there. I was in the studio and last year, but I know Jen and I are going to be going. You're going to be going. Maybe I can get some good things from a lot of my sponsors there. I think we're going to try to have a wheel of fortune, if you will, next to their studio booth where you can spin and win some great prizes or get discounts or get coupons from our sponsors. So you'll come on up to the radio booth and spin the wheel there at the Ohio National, and hopefully we'll have some Chicken Whisperer gear there and all kinds of other stuff like that. So we're really, really looking forward to the Ohio National Fair coming up in November. And, Pat, I believe you have some news as well.
Yeah, it just came across this morning, and we've been tracking this for quite a while. This comes to us from British Columbia, Vancouver. They finally okayed regulations for backyard chickens in Vancouver. So North America, it's a whole North America-wide event, meaning it's not only us in America that are having trouble getting chickens in our backyard. But the Vancouver City Council approved the rules for homeowners hankering after hens, is what they say. This just happened Tuesday. Bird enclosures have to be 1 meter, which is about three yards, from the property line and 3 yards from the nearest door window. They can have four, and here's interesting, the fowl are not allowed in high-rise apartment balconies or in front yards. So that's something we hadn't heard before, that they're banning them from high-rises and front yards, specifically in the code. And, of course, they cannot also have roosters, ducks, turkeys, and pheasants are not permitted. What they're hoping is that eventually the laws will be relaxed a little bit as they get more experience with it, and as time goes on, as we know, people the fear goes away, and they realize that they're not going to get avian flu or swine flu for that matter, but what's exciting is that they plan to do an online registry for hen keepers, and that way people can just get online, they can register their flock, and it doesn't say if there's a fee that goes with it or not. I would kind of hope not. And they're also putting $20,000 towards building a shelter space for abandoned or seized chickens. So that's something else that we hadn't heard of, but that's one way to address it. I know in some cities the poultry clubs are just forming rescue teams. I know we have one here in Rockbridge County that anyone that has a rooster they need to get rid of or stray chickens will certainly get them off the street and take care of them, because our local Humane Society really is not set up very well to handle chickens over there. And the quote, the last thing they have to say is it's wonderful that the neighbors have been so supportive and friendly. This comes from one of the chicken advocates there, Kelly Smith, and she says that there are misconceptions about how hard it is to care for chickens, and something that will change as the bylaws expands and more people start keeping their own. I think as long as you follow the guidelines and are reasonably responsible and take good care of your chickens, they are certainly not any more trouble than a dog. So congratulations to Vancouver. That city now has full nests and backyard chickens.
I've got something to say about that. They're all concerned about a few backyard hens. I'm glad, so don't get me wrong, but there's other areas in Canada that have not yet, and there's big battles going on. With clubs up there called Cluck and whatnot. But I want to know something. Do they have any regulations on these doggone Canadian geese that are all over the place down here? Can they take some of them back? And then we can, I'll trade them. If they'll take all the geese back, I'll take all their chickens. Because, the church we occasionally attend that my wife grew up in, when we go back to visit, there's no water source around there. They do have kind of a big open field. And those Canadian geese come down and they walk parking lot and they leave their little trails behind them. It's like dog poop. It's so big. And you ask anybody here, it's just like, oh, these Canadian geese are horrible. I can't have, they come and they found my lake. I can't go fishing without stepping in it. And oh my goodness. So yeah, attention Canada. I love you so much. And thank you for listening to the show. And I will come up there and fly up there and try to help you support backyard poultry. But when I come up, I'm bringing some Canadian geese with me.
Oh gosh, that's an interesting offer there, Whisper. I wonder how many you really get. That's like French fries. The French fries are so hard, but they're named after the French. Maybe we should send all the French fries back and come back with fine wine or something.
Yeah, French fries, it's killing us all. So maybe we ought to send the French fries back to France.
Send French fries to the Canadian geese, and you'll take care of both problems, right?
Oh my goodness! No, I love it. It's just everybody down here. It's just where my folks live, there's a big lake, and every single year they're inundated with these Canadian geese, and you can't go down there and enjoy the lake because of them. And they just, oh my goodness gracious! So yeah, I have to yank their chain a little bit about that and say, hey, when I come up to support you with your poultry, I'm going to bring a trailer load full of Canadian geese, bring them right up to you.
Well, we're going to hear Tuesday from Christine Heinrich. Apparently there's a similar thing going on with Muscovy ducks. So when they just sort of flock around everything and then they end up being very messy and quite a nuisance. So we're going to talk about the big issues that are behind Muscovy ducks with Christine Heinrich, who's the historian of the Society for the Poultry SPSP, Society for Poultry Antiquities, Protection of Antiquities. I just got tongue tied. You say it, Whisper.
The Society for Preservation
for the
of Poultry Antiquities, right?
That's it, Preservation of Poultry Antiquities, SPPA, for those of us that have our speech impediment. So anyway, okay, so
cool.
That's
cool.
The news I have.
That's all that I have, too. And so what we're going to do right now is go to the phone lines. Let me get over here to my switchboard, and we're going to bring on. He wasn't able to come on last month due to work-related issues. Work comes first before the Chicken Whisperer show. So we thank him for coming on. Sam Brush, the newly elected president of the American Association. Sam,
hello. Hello, Andy and Pat. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, hey, Sam. Thanks so much for coming on the show with us, and congratulations again on your presidency.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure, certainly, to serve the APA, and certainly a pleasure to come on the radio program today.
Well, good, good. So the semi-annual show is coming up next week, Sam. I know you're going to be there, and I'm looking forward to it as well. I'm going to be up there. But tell us about what's going to happen at the semi-annual show.
Well, there will be a lot of exhibition of ducks, geese, chickens, poultry of every kind, pretty much. And, you know, the semi-annual is kind of our one of our two big meets that we have each year, the other one being an annual meet, usually in the fall and winter time frame. And the Southern Ohio group has always put on a perennially, you know, enjoyable, kind of laid-back spring show. But there are going to be, you know, quite a few birds there, and our board will get together with the newly elected board members and everything and sort of chart our course for the next couple of years, hopefully.
Ah, well, that ought to be an exciting meeting. I know whenever one enters a new office, there are a lot of expectations and the things that you want to get done. What might be some of your main objectives over the next couple of years, Sam? Do you have any outstanding or special projects you want to get accomplished?
Well, I guess first and foremost, we actually have a new revised edition of our Standard of Perfection, which is kind of one of the cornerstones of our whole organization and our mission. And we're in the final death stages of reviewing proofs with the printer and trying to get all the I's crossed and T's dotted, I guess. So chasing after that, and hopefully we were actually hoping to perhaps have some printed by the time Lucasville came around, but it's just not going to happen. We still got a few more little minor adjustments that need to be made to the proofs before they go ahead and print our run. So.
But, well, it's never ending. I know from working with my books, it's almost impossible to get it perfect. Sometimes you just have to punt and so say, I'll try again later. But
that's going to be my biggest problem, Pat, because as having OCD, that's going to be the biggest problem I've already told with mine is that I'm going to read every sentence 9 times, trying to make it flow, trying to make it sound right. Recording information, so I already told my publisher, I'm like, hey, you can forget deadlines, because I'll be making everything that's OCD perfect, and of course, then it still probably won't be, so I completely understand how that's going. Go ahead, Sam, you were going to mention something else.
No, I think that's one of our big projects, and then certainly, you know, we're trying to, you know, gradually ramp up on a couple of different fronts. With regard to just the whole scenario of poultry regulations and how it might impact some of our showing activities. And so we kind of keep an eye on that a little bit and make sure we don't, you know, find ourselves painted into a corner when we weren't sure we were going to do that. And I guess if we talk about the Muscovy duck issues, you know, later this week, if Christine covers that, then that's one of those areas where we were kind of surprised by some federal regulations that came down. So,
yeah,
let's back
I
up.
Guess
just go ahead,
Andy. I was going to say, we astonished everybody. So now you go.
I was going to say, let's back up a little bit, and Sam, if you'll basically tell us, because you are newly elected president of the American Poultry Association, if you'll tell us a little bit about your background, how that all came about, your background with poultry and judging and all that kind of stuff. How did it come about that now you are the president of the American Poultry Association? So a little bit about your background and the road to your position.
Okay. Essentially, I grew up in the state of New Jersey, where there were actually chickens to be had up there, even though it was quite a developed state even when I was a child. But I latched on to some of the other poultry fanciers, and they were the ones who exhibited at the old Madison Square Garden show in New York back in the late 40s and 50s. And, they were very kind to a young kid. They shared some of their birds with me and got me interested. And as my wife would tell you, I'm hardwired for chickens since birth, because we have all these pieces of paper that my dad actually kept. And when we closed the house down after he passed away, we found them, a little red rope folder with all these pictures I drew. And 90% of them involved stick figures of chickens. So it was pretty much preordained. But I started out with some bantams as an exhibition kind of activity, and got to be part in our local poultry club there in New Jersey. Actually ended up at one point being secretary. And then I came to Texas to go to school and kind of worked my way into the local club down here, and eventually and was involved with the American Poultry Association, first just as a member and then as a director. And so finally, if you keep doing some stuff, eventually they'll make you an officer, I guess, and give you real responsibility. But that's been my activities. I've had chickens off and on all through that time, and currently have quite a larger menagerie than I've ever had before. But we're doing the best we can with that. In fact, I'm building a coop this week as fast as I can, so I can house some of the smaller, young birds that are growing up.
Well, how many chickens do you have, Sam?
Let me see. You're not affiliated with state regulatory agencies or anything. hopefully, my mother-in-law is not listening. I have probably.
Sam, you don't have to disclose this if you're sensitive about that.
No.
It's all right.
I actually have somewhere around pretty close to 200 adults and probably 150 chicks.
All
on a quarter acre. How do you do that?
Well, no. I have, I actually have an acre. Three quarters of it is the chickens, actually, 100 of those, half of those are the bantam buffalo leghorns, and so, they're not taking up quite as much space as the others.
Right, and only 50 roosters, right?
Not even that many. I'm lucky. So,
you're lucky. That's pretty good. Well, and do you live in the country then, Sam? Are you kind of out in the rural area?
Actually,
tell me you live right in the city limits. That'd be great.
Well, the way Texas is set up, I am in the city limits. I'm in the part of town that used to be county, but now it's been annexed. But fortunately, their animal ordinance laws, don't really prohibit me from having chickens. And the reason we bought this house was because the people over on the back fence side of me had chickens, and so we said, well, it must work, and so we went and got them.
Good for you.
It's a fairly, rural flavored part of town, and so it's not been a problem, and it's actually kind of a nice juxtaposition, because while I seem to be able to keep an inordinate number of chickens in a small backyard, fairly small, it's in kind of a subdivision and lots of fencing and things, and so the coyotes and the bobcats that live down on this one big rural section here, they don't come up as much to visit my chickens.
Well, that's good. That's very good. Now, Sam, do you only incubate the eggs in an incubator, or do you let your hens go broody and do it the natural way?
I actually do both.
Wonderful.
Yeah, one of the breeds that I keep are Old English Game large fowl, which are exhibition version, if you will, of those that are used to fight. And so I'm often explaining why mine look just like the ones that fight, but they really don't. But among the many good attributes of those hens is that they are excellent mothers, and so I can put a clutch of eggs under them, and you know, especially if they're special eggs, and I want them to hatch, you know, in good numbers, and they'll do a good job for me.
Yeah. Well, Sam, is it just my strange observation, but it seems like something about chicks hatched naturally under hens, somehow they're different. I mean, it seems like they've got more of a bloom to them, or they're just more outgoing or social. Have you found any difference from those that you incubate versus those that you let go hatch out naturally under chickens, broody hens?
The hens always seem to do, you know, the natural best job, and you know, I'm sure it has something to do with all the humidity control and, you know, stuff which they kind of innately do, where the incubator, it relies on me trying to move a few dials and keep controls in check, and I'm not sure I always do the best job on that.
Yeah, yeah. So you find that this has got something, Kavitska or something, I don't know what it is, but it seems like they're just healthier, happier little chicks. And certainly the hen protects them, and there's no integration issues with the rest. Of course, I let mine all go together, so
yeah.
That's a little different. Yeah.
Well, and I pretty much abuse my setting hen. Sometimes I'll, you know, they'll hatch out six or eight, and I'll give them another six or eight that came from the incubator, and so they sort of get an extra brood load so that they'll take care of them. And they always do better.
Do you graft those little chicks then onto another hen, or put them in the brooder?
I usually am grafting them onto another hen.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you have any secrets for doing that?
Not so much, other than I tend to do it at night so that they don't see it coming.
Okay. I've just grafted some little baby keets, guinea keets, onto a hen, and I've worked with the goats, so I figured it'd work with chickens. I just put a little bit of Vaseline on the backs of the keets and then a little bit on the neck of the hen, and sort of mess her smell up a little bit. Anyway, she's taken them all, so, yeah.
Well, that's good.
Tell us about the show coming up this weekend. I wish I could be there. It's still in the back of my mind to see, look at our schedule and see if we can make the drive, because Jen does have off on Monday. It'd be a nice little weekend trip. But how much poultry do you expect there, and how many spectators do you expect up there this weekend?
Well, and I'm not really sure what the exact numbers are. They usually have, you know, several thousand anyway. And in fact, I just before I came on, I was looking at one of the forums, and somebody said something about numbers for Lucasville, but I didn't get a chance to look at it before I got on the phone. But certainly it's a significant show, even for a spring show in that area. And, you know, David Atkins and the Southern Ohio group are always congenial hosts, and it's an old country, you know, kind of fairground, and so, you know, just the whole atmosphere, and they have some new facilities that were done in the last couple of years to kind of upgrade. So it's just a neat place to go and have our spring show.
So Sam, do you find that the poultry shows are getting bigger because of maybe the interest in keeping backyard chickens?
I'm not sure. Yeah, they're. And it's been surprising for us. We've seen a lot of shows that have increased in their numbers, you know, despite the economy and some of the other tribulations that are going on for exhibition poultry. But I'm not sure that the swell in exhibits is really due to the interest in backyard poultry so much as maybe, you know, a growing number of folks that are kind of more on the show and exhibition side, picking it up as a hobby, just like they would show dogs or something like that.
Uh-huh. Do you find more kids are coming into it, or is it pretty much the same with the youth program?
No, I think there are more, and certainly I see it. I'm superintendent for our State Fair of Texas, and we always have a really good, in fact, in a lot of ways, most of our show at the State Fair is comprised of some of the 4-H and FFA kids, some of whom live in the dense urban jungle of Dallas, you know, and they have kind of latched on to these urban chickens, and, you know, they'll order them and raise them up during the season and then bring them to the fair and enjoy, you know, the showing aspect of it. So they probably mm-hmm. at least contribute some that, in that case, our entries.
Yeah. Sam, you've probably been to more shows than just about anyone here on the talk show. And you keep, obviously, it's a passion. You keep going back and back and back and breeding chickens. What are some of the magic moments when you go in these shows? Is there a particular time or a particular feeling or just sense that just gets you buzzed and makes it all worthwhile?
Well, I think, you know, some of the different shows, they each one has its own kind of character, and you know, as I've had the opportunity to go to annuals and semi-annuals over the years, you know, each part of the country has kind of interesting, you know, different types of poultry. You know, people in one area may have more Plymouth Rocks and different colors and so forth, and then you go to the, you know, different part of the country and they have a whole different breed array, and it's kind of fun to take that first step in and sort of, you know, smell the coffee and whatever shavings aroma, you know, the
there's a wonderful smell. No, there's a delightful smell with shows. It's quite unique.
So it is.
When you
first have all those empty cages with all those fresh shavings and everything, it is kind of interesting. In the old days, and, you know, I guess this dates me because I can remember, there used to be a litter that was made from crushed sugar cane. It was called Stays Dry. And it was a very absorbent material, and everybody used it. It was even used in shows, and it was pretty expensive, too. It came in compressed bales. But it had a very, very unique sugary sweet smell that was characteristic of shows when I was a kid. And I guess it's no longer made because the factory burned down, and then when they got around to building and processing back for the sugar cane, they found that they had much better use for the waste material. So we don't see that anymore.
Great. Yeah. Well, listen, Sam, we're just going to take a quick break here and give tribute to our sponsors. So when we come back, why don't we pick up with some of the special things that shows do have in those magic moments. So we'll be right back in just a couple minutes.
Okay.
There will always be something that will love your chickens more than you. That's why I use NightGuard Solar to protect my flock. NightGuard Solar has successfully been manufacturing and selling NightGuard Solar lights for over 12 years and offers a one-year warranty and complete money-back guarantee. No waiting. NightGuard Solar will be shipped within 48 hours of your order. Order your NightGuard Solar lights today at NightGuard.com. That's NITEGUARD.com. Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
If you're looking for a quality made chicken coop, then look no further than Horizon Structures. When you purchase from Horizon Structures, you can rest assured that your product is produced and delivered with the highest craftsmanship through traditional value, honesty, and integrity. All chicken coops are delivered fully assembled and ready to use right away. To pick out your new Horizon Structures chicken coop, visit horizonstructures.com. That's horizonstructures.com. You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in just any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends and neighbors with your very own custom labeled egg carton from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com and save 10% off your entire order by using the coupon code WHISPER. Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Night Guard Solar would like to extend a special introductory offer to all the Chicken Whisperer listeners. Get four Night Guard Solar lights for just $100 plus shipping. That's a savings of $20. All you have to do is mention the coupon code WHISPER when you call an order. Take advantage of this great special right now by calling 1-800-328-6647. That's 1-800-328-6647. Or visit them online at nightguard.com. That's NITEGUARD.com.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce. I'll don my super suit.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Also want to remind everybody, don't forget to go to our website and enter to win that beautiful chicken coop provided by MyPetChicken.com, $350 value. Register one time. That's all you have to do. And then a week from today, it will be Memorial Day, but a week from today, right here live on the radio show, live video, you'll see me reach into the big pickle barrel, pull out a name. We'll give them a call live on the radio show and surprise them. Let them know they've won this beautiful coop provided by MyPetChicken.com. Also, the great special they're having today over at Ideal Poultry, $1.20 pullets. Give them a call or visit them at IdealPoultry.com. Our special guest today is Sam Brush, newly elected president of the American Poultry Association. And welcome back, Pat. Welcome back, Sam.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, Sam, there's a question in the chat room that I think you would be the really good one to ask this. This is from Lebo. It says, I'm new to raising chickens, and I have a question. Do I need to take the rooster, out of the pen in order for my hen to go broody? She has about 11 eggs, and I am just wanting her to go broody. Is there any tricks to making a laying hen go broody?
Well, no. Actually, taking the male out or not, in my experience, hasn't been anything that's a real key. I have hens that go broody, you know, with maybe two or three males in the same pen. They'll just go collect the eggs in the corner and plunk down and want to be broody. It probably has more to do with the specific breed and, you know, just their propensity for wanting to go broody and sit on eggs. Because some breeds like large leghorns and actually even Rhode Island Reds are not very prone to going broody, but breeds like Silkies or some of the Games and some of the other breeds in the American class, they tend to do it more.
Okay. So I hope that answered that question. Well, getting back to the shows a little bit, Sam, because that's really where APA, you sponsor and shows and you certify the judges for shows.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Yeah. So
yes.
So that's really your main bread and butter, I would guess, for your organization. Getting back to the shows, tell us how a show usually proceeds. I mean, they usually people get there like Friday night and it ends Sunday, but what's the kind of progression of how a show would proceed for folks that are listening?
Well, most of the time shows, you know, may accept entries on Friday night. The shows are usually in this day and age, a lot of them are one-day shows just on Saturday, but some are still 2 days, as in case of our semi-annual. And so entries will arrive, and the show management keeps the show open to accept those entries Friday night. And then
how late do they keep the entries? Do they accept them pretty
kind,
late?
Kind of varies. You know, it depends on how late the show management wants to hang around the show barn. Usually 9 o'clock is probably getting to be the limit, but some of the larger shows, will keep things open later because, you know, they know people are on the road, sometimes from distance driving in, and so they want to be able to let them get their birds in, get them fed and watered and so forth. And then Saturday morning, usually I think 9 o'clock is pretty much the usual time that most shows start judging, and send their judging crew off to start marking the cards, and progresses through the day. And in the case of a one-day show, they usually try and wrap up sometime around 3 o'clock or thereabouts, and get those champions identified and have the presentation ceremonies, and then release the birds to go home.
And then there's a time when the judges kind of go do their thing. That's usually on Saturday. Is that when they complete all the judging?
Most of the time, with the two-day shows, they try and complete the judging on Saturday, although, again, on some of the larger shows, that judging may end up, you know, going into Sunday morning. But by and large, most shows wrap up all the judging one way or the other on Saturday, whether it's a one- or two-day.
Okay. And then do most of the shows have vendors? Because I know at the annual show, it was kind of like a carnival when I was there in Ohio last year. So
yeah.
There were so many vendors, and I met so many people.
Yes, it varies a little bit from show to show. Some of the larger shows have developed a pretty stable set of vendors that will come, you know, to share their products with you. And then, you know, there's some of the other smaller shows where they're not there so much. You know, kind of here in Texas, for example, Randall Berkey on occasion has come to some of the smaller shows that we have here, and then you know, we haven't had any big shows in Texas for a while, so you know, they've pretty much been the only one that attended. But across the country, you know, it just depends on the size of the show and what kind of relationship they've had in the past with the vendors.
Okay, and then almost always, is there a swap meet or just a swap section? Because I know the shows are one of the premier places for kind of getting new stock and turning in old stock. So how does that usually work?
Usually the shows will set up a separate area, and I know, you know, shows like Ohio National and the old, when they used to have the Virginia Poultry Breeders in Richmond, they had a pretty legendary Trader's Row set up outside of the poultry building where there was anything and everything poultry related available for sale, you know, from pheasants to chickens to quail. And you know, some of the areas have shows that, you know, you set up a smaller area, something maybe not so large. And then, of course, one of the challenges here in Texas is they don't allow, by state law, that you're not allowed to have swap areas at some of the shows, unless there's a registration that Texas does for some poultry vendors, and if some of your people that are wanting to sell birds are registered, then they'd be able to do that. So it makes it a little bit more challenging, and you know, again, that may vary from state to state.
Well, dang. Well, how about this Ohio show in Lucasville? I assume there's going to be a pretty good swap area there.
Yes, yeah. And they usually dedicate, if I remember correctly, one of the other barn areas away from the main exhibition barn where people can set up. And also at Lucasville, you know, there's a lot of tailgating poultry going on where, you know, they'll have a lot of their birds set up in a tailgate display of some sort. So there'll be plenty of opportunities somewhere to pick up extra birds or something new, you know, add to your flock.
Yeah, and that's just kind of a bit like a flea market almost. It's just between traders. There's no fees or anything for that. It's like if I see a particular bird I'd like to buy, I just go up and find out who the owner is and make a deal, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Usually the vendors, if they make use of some of the show's cages for their, you know, to put their birds in, they, you know, the show may charge them a nominal fee just for basically leasing those cages for display for the day. But other than that, there are none that I know of.
Yeah. Sam, I have a question that I've wondered about because I didn't want to do a faux pas at a poultry show. But there, at the Ohio show last year, and I'm sure it'll happen to me this year again at the Lucasville show next week, but there'll be one or two birds that are being shown that's like, oh, I'd really love to have that bird. Is there a protocol or a way to discreetly or just to find out if that bird's for sale or not? Or I mean, is there any kind of unwritten culture about approaching a bird that's being shown to possibly purchase it?
Well, and most shows will have a show catalog, which kind of tells you, you know, if you look at the tag on the bird that you're interested in, you know, it'll have some indication of who the exhibitor is, and you can kind of cross-check the exhibitor and find out whose bird it is, and then see if you can connect up with that person and ask them, is that particular bird available for sale, or do they have others of that same variety that might be available? And that would be how you'd go about it.
Okay. And is it okay to just leave a note on the cage for them, or is that kind of?
That probably wouldn't be the preferred mode. it would be better to just, you know, work through the process of trying to figure out, you know, whose exhibit it is, and then try to connect up with them in the show hall somewhere.
Yeah, the chat room, Patricia, there says just leave your business card on the cage, maybe to say you're interested.
That might not always get a response, and so, you know, you might want to go the extra effort and track down the owner.
Yeah, we've had quite several discussions on the show about the real value of say, a laying hen or a really quality bird. You know, people think, mm-hmm. I can buy a chicken at the store for $4, and why should I pay whatever for a full-grown hen? And, of course, I say, well, that bird's only 5 weeks old. The ones that you're buying as a grown hen would take 6 months to 5 to 6 months. So we kind of feel that birds are underpriced. Do you have any, from your personal point of view, do you have any position or advice about pricing birds for to get a true value of them?
Well, you know, it all is kind of at the request of the seller in some respects. You know, if you think you can get a certain price for a bird because of its breeding background or genetics, then, you know, normally a breeder will pursue that, you know. And I, you know, for example, in my own particular case, you know, I have chickens in my yard that are $5 chickens that I give away when someone comes and wants a bird that's not exhibition quality, high-level exhibition quality, but just wants, you know, a chicken for the backyard. And at the same time, I also have some that are specific colors and, you know, proper confirmation and so forth that, you know, I would expect to get more money for that particular bird because of its background and breeding and so forth. And it's been interesting down here in Texas to see the price of just everyday laying hens at the trade days fluctuate mm-hmm. up and down. And I think most recently, I mean, they were in the $12 to $15 range per hen for a you know, reasonably healthy, good quality, you know, just a laying hen for the backyard, you know, no particular exhibition qualities about it. So,
right. So do you think that's high? We kind of figured time you feed it for 6 months and all the labor involved and of course the breeding and
that seems about right. And you know, because gosh, if you're going to the trade day and expecting to buy a laying hen for $5, I mean, you know, there's far more already put into that hen getting it to that age than you might have thought. This whole notion of the value of chickens, you know, comes up a lot when we'll have breeders that maybe a predator or a dog, you know, the neighbor's dog gets in and kills 20 chickens and they're wanting to get money from the neighbor, you know, to replace them. And mm-hmm. there actually was a researcher who used to be at Virginia Tech, and now he's at Penn State, named Philip Clower, and he actually did a kind of a fact sheet calculator thing when he was at Virginia Tech, that where you could go in and actually calculate the value of your chicken, whether it was an exhibition chicken or just a laying hen, or, you know, you bought chicks and you raised them up to 3 months old, and then how much are they mm-hmm. really worth? And he had a pretty good little pamphlet on how to do that. So,
oh, I'd love to see that.
Yeah,
I'll see if I can track that down.
Yeah, it's getting a little bit dated, but I think it's still on their Extension Service website.
Excellent, excellent. What's the most you've ever paid for a chicken?
Let me see. I have a cardinal rule. I pay more for books than I do for chickens, but I've bought some archive books that are pretty special, and they were more interesting than buying the chickens. But
yeah.
Let me see. I've paid $100. Well, let me see. I bought 9 chickens for $125 plus the postage. So
that's only
That was only like $12 a bird, or a little bit higher. But
that's the most you've ever paid?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. Well, say one of these grand champion chickens, or one of them that placed really high. What if, assuming they would want to sell them, what might be a show price, I guess you'd say?
It is going to be whatever the traffic will bear.
And you know, sort of what's the range on that?
Well, I mean, I knew a judge back in the 70s that bought the champion large fowl. It was a White Wyandotte at the Ohio National. He paid $15 for it.
Oh, wow.
And he only paid that because he basically forced the owner. The owner wanted to loan it to him, and he said, no, I want to buy the bird and use it in my breeding program, and didn't want any of the strings. So the man finally accepted $15 for it.
Oh, for heaven's sake. There you go.
There are records of, you know, birds being $1,000, you know, in that range. It really varies all over the place.
Okay. Well, we're talking with Sam Brush. He's the newly elected president of the American Poultry Association. And, Sam, thank you so much for coming on the show. We look forward to having you and other members of the APA on in the future. And we really appreciate your advice and insights that you uniquely bring to the show. Okay, Whisper, you got a few announcements coming up?
Well, we've got about 90 seconds, and I just want to make sure to everybody tunes in. Rest of the week, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Obviously, check our Facebook page for all kinds of – we have a wonderful special guest coming up on Wednesday. That's all I'm going to say. I'll make the announcement tomorrow, maybe on my Facebook page later today. But you all love her, and she's been on before. Very, very special guest on Wednesday. So you'll have to check out the Facebook page later today. But, Sam, thank you very, very much for coming on. I'm anxious to continue to work with the APA ongoing through the radio show, heading out to the shows, broadcasting live from the shows, and all that kind of wonderful, wonderful opportunities for all of us. And I appreciate you coming on the show today.
Well, I thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to tell everybody about the APA and what our activities are and how it plugs into backyard chickens.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. And Pat, we've got 30 seconds left, so I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, well, I'll just wrap up here by saying thanks again to all our sponsors for their support. We wouldn't be here without you. And, of course, Andy Schneider, thanks to you for bringing us all together so we can cluck along merrily and talk about chickens unabashedly. Thanks to the chat room chickeneers for clucking along. They're always, always a delight. And, of course, thanks to Blog Talk Radio for providing the radio, chat room, and video services. Blessings to all, and may the flock be with you. God bless. Oh.